Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this program. It's Wednesday, October the 30th, 2024. I'm Tim with Fred Jackson. Good morning, Brother Fred.
Good morning, Tim.
Christopher Woodward.
Hello.
And let's see, we've got Tony Perkins coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Yes.
Tony is president of the Family Research Council, and he's heard each afternoon here on Washington Watch.
Yes.
And does an outstanding job on that show, keeping us posted on what's happening in our nation's capital. So we look forward to talking to Tony Perkins again at the bottom of the hour. And Dr. Alex McFarland, well known here on AFR, will be with us at the top of the next hour. So we'll visit with Alex, along with Steve Paisley Jordahl. Steve will be in studio with us. What's the lead story?
Yes, this was something Fred just posted on our website, which is afn.net. Breaking news, the Supreme Court today allowed Virginia to resume its purge of voter registration that the state says is aimed at stopping people who are not U.S. citizens from voting. It looks like it was a 6-3 decision here. The justices acted on Virginia's appeal after a federal judge last week found that the state illegally purged more than 1,600 voter registrations in the past couple of months. A federal appeals court also agreed with that lower court decision. But again, today, the U.S. Supreme Court says Virginia can proceed with purging non-citizens from voter rolls. It seems like a common sense situation that a state could say, oh, you're not a citizen here. You can't vote. Therefore, we're going to take you off the rolls.
Yeah, well, what is the backstory here?
Well, the backstory is this: on August the 7th, Governor Glenn Youngkin exercised his authority under a law in Virginia that they were looking at voter registration polls, and there was a group of about 1,600 that were in question. Has Governor Youngkin said after this federal judge ruled against purging those 1,600, he said some of these people had approached us who were on that list of 1,600 and said, hey, I'm not a citizen. I don't know how my name ended up on here. But here's what happened. The Biden Justice Department issued a complaint against the purging of these 1,600, and then a Biden-appointed judge agreed with the Biden Justice Department to stop the purge of these 1,600. So Youngkin immediately appealed that to federal appeals court, and now it went all the way to the Supreme Court because that appeals court said no, he wasn't allowed to purge. This is the option. Nobody on that of the 1,600 who are citizens of the United States will be not allowed to vote because there is an appeal in there right up to and including Election Day that if a person on that list comes and says, here's proof that I'm a citizen, they have to be allowed to vote. So it wasn't a case of disenfranchising citizens. It was a case of people that could not prove their citizenship being put in this block of 1,600 and being taken aside and saying, okay, unless you can prove you're a citizen, you're not allowed to vote on Election Day.
Mm-hmm. So this was a expedited case to the Supreme Court.
Yes. The ruling from the federal judge, the district judge, came down last Friday.
Yeah.
And so Governor Youngkin immediately went on Fox News Channel, told Harris Faulkner, this is wrong. We're going to appeal to the Fourth Circuit. And if so, we'll go to the U.S. Supreme Court if we have to. Over the weekend, the federal appeals court ruled in favor of the federal judge, saying Virginia can't do this. But again, the justices today said, hey, Virginia can proceed.
Yeah.
I do have some audio from a legal expert on this, certainly somebody that went to school far longer than I did and actually has a legal degree. I just have a BA in communication. Lawyer Andrew C. McCarthy was on Fox News Channel immediately after the Supreme Court ruling and had this to say, clip 12.
What Virginia was trying to do was take people off the ballot who are not voters because they're not Americans, and that's by their own admission. And this idea that this could prevent or mistakenly result in American citizens from Virginia not being able to vote is bogus, because under Virginia law, let's say they've taken you off the ballot mistakenly. Under Virginia law, if you show up to vote on Election Day and you attest that you are an American citizen, they have to let you vote. So there wasn't a chance that an actual American citizen was going to be prevented from voting here. On the other hand, it is a federal crime for aliens both to represent themselves as American citizens in order to register to vote, and it's a federal crime for them to cast votes.
Yeah, so I mean, it was pretty straightforward. By the way, this law in Virginia has been exercised by other governors, including Democrat governors. It's not something new. It's not something that Glenn Youngkin and the Republicans in Virginia just popped up there, as the left was trying to portray it to be. No, it was simple exercising what has already been in place. Here's a group of people who cannot upfront prove that they are citizens. We're going to extract them from voter registration, and they have time to appeal. Like I said, Glenn Youngkin, the 1,600 were taken off back on August the 7th. So this wasn't just something that popped into place 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So it's just common sense.
Yeah. Glenn Youngkin, the governor of Virginia. Well, good for him. That's a big win.
Mm-hmm.
6-3 at the Supreme Court in favor, basically, just to boil it down, in favor of only legal citizens voting.
Imagine that.
What's
wrong with these three?
Right.
three justices.
Well, they're liberal justices. Yeah. That's the starting point. But, I mean, some things in government, some things, you know, bills are passed or rulings come down, and they just seem like a complete waste of tax dollars that we even have to do this.
Yeah.
For example, every once in a while, some lawmaker will say, Nazis shouldn't get Social Security benefits. Well, okay, like we had to spend time debating that. It's just sometimes these things boggle my mind, right. But I've been in news for a long time, as have you guys.
And, Nazis are getting
That was an example from a few years ago. Like if you were somebody that was a sympathizer.
Everybody knows one.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, Kamala Harris wants you to think we're all Nazis,
It's just everywhere. Nazis getting Social Security. I got a couple neighbors fall into that category. All right, next story, Chris.
Speaking of the vice president, she did have her moment on television last night where she was at the Ellipse outside the White House giving her...
Where is the Ellipse? I've been to Washington many times, but I'm trying to think of where is the Ellipse exactly?
If you were standing on the front doorstep of the White House...
On the South Lawn?
Yeah, it's off to your left.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm showing him a picture of it, America.
Oh, well, that's... Hold on a second. I'm looking at... Sorry, folks. I'm looking at...
There's the White House.
I was thinking that was near the Washington Monument.
It looks like a giant crop circle, if you've ever been there. It's a giant circle.
So it was an outdoor speech she gave, and it was this kind of her closing appeal to America to vote for her?
Basically.
Is that what there was?
Yeah. If you have ever heard her in the last couple of weeks give a speech at a rally or some event in which she wanted you to believe that Donald Trump is bad for America— that's what she said last night. I've got a compilation of a couple of things. By the way, Trump did also have a rally last night in Pennsylvania, a battleground state where he hopes to beat her next week. So what you're going to hear now is a little bit of Kamala last night, followed by some of what Trump said. Clip one.
This is someone who is unstable, obsessed with revenge, consumed with grievance, and out for unchecked power. We are not a vessel for the schemes of wannabe dictators.
The newest line from Kamala and her campaign is that everyone who isn't voting for her is a Nazi.
I'm running a campaign of solutions to save our country. Kamala is running a campaign of demonization and hate.
We are 6 days away from the election.
Yeah.
Here's the interesting part. In the lead up to Kamala Harris's speech last night, her campaign billed it as a speech built on positivity and unity.
Mm-hmm.
And she ends up using the speech to call Donald Trump a petty tyrant and wannabe dictator. Mm-hmm. Yeah, loving words.
Yes. Meanwhile, the president who passed the campaign torch to Kamala Harris is in the news for making a remark in which...
Joe Biden?
Yes. Okay, yeah. So while on a call and trying to reference the garbage comment that may or may not have been a joke in poor taste at the Trump rally on Sunday, Biden went on to appear to call Trump supporters garbage. I have the audio, clip two.
Or Puerto Rico, where I'm in my home state of Delaware, they're good, decent, honorable people. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. His demonization is seen as unconscionable.
So people are taking that away as Joe Biden saying Trump supporters are, quote, garbage.
Yes.
That's been all over X, all over. I mean, it was even an issue last night at the rally in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Marco Rubio came out and informed the audience of what happened here. I can play that if you want.
Sure.
Clip three.
I wasn't going to say anything, but I have breaking news for you, Mr. President. You may not have heard this. Just moments ago, Joe Biden stated that our supporters are garbage. Are garbage. He's talking about the Border Patrol. He's talking about nurses. He's talking about teachers. He's talking about everyday Americans who love their country and want to dream big again and support you, Mr. President. And I hope their campaign is about to apologize for what Joe Biden just said. We are not garbage. We are patriots who love America. And thank you for running, Mr. President.
That was Senator Marco Rubio.
Yeah.
A man that Trump once referred to as
Joe Biden. So, was he on a phone call, you said? I could hardly make out what he was saying.
I think it was a radio interview he was giving. Now, the White House tried to walk this back a bit later last evening, and they issued a press release putting a comma in it, basically saying the garbage was not referring to Trump supporters, but referring back to what this comedian had said about Puerto Rico. But as you just heard, there was no comma in Joe Biden's statement there.
Yeah.
None. He was referring to, and of course, immediately a lot of people went back to Hillary Clinton's
basket of deplorables.
Yes.
A little walk down memory lane.
Yes. You know, from way back. That feels like 100 years ago in this news cycle. It's probably why I have gray hair. Here's one of Hillary's best hits, clip six.
You can put half of Trump supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables. Right? The racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it.
Even Kamala Harris this morning, before she got on Air Force Two to go to her next stop, was saying she doesn't agree with Biden's comment last night. Because in her speech last night, she said, I'm going to be a president for everybody. You know, I'll invite my political enemies to the table, et cetera, et cetera. So she, you know, like I say once again, she called Trump a petty tyrant and wannabe dictator. And then Biden, who didn't want to go to the rally last night outside his house, the White House.
Was he there?
No.
Was he at home?
He was
at the White House?
He was apparently back at the White House.
Okay, maybe he could watch it from the, I guess so.
Or didn't.
Top deck.
Go out on the roof.
Or wasn't invited.
Or wasn't invited, probably.
Well, and there is a point to saying that, because there's a big issue here that apparently the Kamala Harris campaign, right from the beginning, has not wanted Biden on the same stage as Kamala Harris during the campaign.
Yeah, well, I can understand that after his debate debacle.
Yes.
You know, you don't want to be seen with him on the stage, because it reminds people of his presidency, you know, and his failure at the debate. I mean, just his age. I mean, a lot of things come up when you put him on the stage with. And what's the point, really? It isn't like people who voted for Biden are not going to vote for her if he doesn't endorse her or is seen with her. So
yes.
I don't think he's an asset to go on the campaign trail with her. And could be the other way around.
I do, not to leave him out, I do have some audio of former President Trump
Who are we leaving that for? Oh, okay.
Responding to Biden's, quote, garbage remark here. We can play that. Clip four.
I wasn't going to say anything, but I have breaking news for you.
We already heard that.
Clip four.
This just moments ago. Joe.
Okay,
I don't know what happened there.
That was Marco Rubio impersonating Donald Trump.
Something happened with our.
Listen, we'll all be glad when this is over.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
It's only six more days until we wait late into the night and possibly weeks.
I hope not. I hope it'll be over that night, but we all do.
That would be nice.
I wrote Santa a letter asking for that this year. He has not responded yet.
Not maybe responded yet?
You know, there's a lot of mail-in ballots, so maybe.
Yeah. Well, by the way, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Fred, and Chris, and we have Tony Perkins on at the bottom of the hour, president of the Family Research Council. Speaking of election night coverage here on American Family Radio, we want folks to join us. What's going to be happening right here on this channel, Fred?
Well, as Ed Sullivan used to say, it'll be a really big show. Really big show. Everybody remember who Ed Sullivan
is? Yes, oh yeah, sure.
I've heard of him.
Maybe not Chris.
I've heard of him.
All right.
You can Google him.
Yes, 6 o'clock on election night, 6 p.m. on election night. We will begin our special coverage of the election results coming in, 6 o'clock Central, and we're doing that because, pardon me, that'll be 7 o'clock on the East Coast, and I think there are at least 5 states at that time who will start reporting the results. So when we come on the air, one of the first things you're going to hear is some of the results coming in from, and Tim, some of the key states that are going to probably decide this election.
Yeah, some of the swing, several of the swing states, the battleground states, are in the Eastern time zone. You got,
yes.
You got North Carolina, you got Georgia, you mm-hmm. got Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Those three are big ones. Michigan.
Yes.
That's the Eastern time zone.
Yeah.
So those we'll be on the air. We'll start on the air with the time those polls close, right?
At 6 o'clock, Tim, you'll be here, yep. And Wesley will be here,
yep.
And Walker will be here,
Ed
will be here.
Yeah, and our news team.
And Chris and Steve are going to be busy putting together our newscast with the latest results, and also on our website, afn.net. AFN.net. Jody Brown, our editor there, along with Billy Davis, his assistant, they'll be here giving you the latest results on the website. So it's going to be a big night. You're going to want to be here, folks, and get the latest results and the commentary also. And we have some guests that'll be joining us also.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can quote former President Trump in the bite that I was going to play here. Last night, Trump said, and I quote, "Please forgive him for not knowing what he said. These people are terrible, terrible, terrible to say a thing like that, but he really doesn't know. He really, honestly, he doesn't. And I'm convinced that he likes me more than he likes Kamala."
You're talking about Joe Biden.
Yes.
And that quote we played where Biden apparently calls Trump voters garbage.
Yes.
Oh well, what did Harris say about that? She asked about that.
Yeah, they did a little what's called a scrum with reporters, yeah, before she got on the plane this morning, and she said, you know, don't agree with that.
Correct.
So she tried to back away from it. To your point, that's one of the reasons they don't want Biden on the campaign, because he's just saying things. But to be fair, and I keep going back, she called Trump a petty tyrant and wannabe dictator.
Oh yeah.
Right.
She called, you know, she didn't disagree with the comments about, you know, the rally at Madison Square Garden being a bunch of Nazis. She didn't take issue with that. So, you know, for her to condemn Biden for saying garbage last night, come on. It's kind of like the pot calling kettle black.
Yeah. All right, next story.
Well, Jeff Bezos.
Jeff Bezos.
Who owns the Washington Post, a major newspaper.
No, he actually owns half the world.
Well, in addition to that, he also owns the Washington Post. And he is still being talked about for something he wrote a few days ago. He wrote an op-ed criticizing his own newspaper, saying we have to bring things back to center. I'm paraphrasing a lot here. In an op-ed for the Post, he explained the hard truth of why Americans don't trust the news media anymore and laid a good deal of blame at the feet of his own paper. This is over a decision there by the Washington Post not to get involved with this particular presidential campaign as much as it has in times past with other campaigns. And I have some audio here that we can play.
So just to reset, because I read this story the other day, Jeff Bezos, who owns Amazon, mm-hmm. he created Amazon, which is one of the top stories of the last 100 years.
Right.
If you want to look at business and mm-hmm. entrepreneurship, I mean, the man's a genius. Jeff Bezos is his whole story there. So he bought the Washington Post newspaper.
Correct.
The Washington Post newspaper is the political paper of record, so to speak, because it's in our nation's capital. Mm-hmm. And Washington Post, along with the New York Times, were long considered the, where the rest of the country got their news, right, in terms of the newspaper business. And it was a big deal for a long time. It's lost its luster, as has the whole newspaper industry. I'm talking about the read-it-in-your-hand newspaper industry has kind of diminished because of the digital age. And because papers like the Washington Post have gotten so far left that they've lost a lot of their centrist and conservative readers. Mm-hmm. But Jeff Bezos owns the newspaper, and they typically endorse a candidate for president, right?
Yes, or at least they have in recent years.
They have in
years.
The past. But he stepped in. I'm sure he doesn't step into day-to-day operations at the Washington Post. He just owns it. He's got a lot of things, other things going on. He's got, like, several yachts to take care of.
He owns a space company.
Yeah, he does? Mm. Yeah, okay.
One of them.
He and Elon Musk both in.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, but it was very interesting to me. I've never known what Jeff Bezos' politics are necessarily. Are they Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal? I don't know. He's kind of hard to make out or to get, for me at least, to be defined. Mm-hmm. But he said, do you have the direct quote?
Yeah, I've got it here.
You have it?
It's presidential endorsements do nothing to tip the scales of an election. What presidential endorsements actually do is create a perception of bias. The credibility cap can be bridged by independence. I'll post all this on our Facebook page.
Was that it? Is that the whole quote?
Well, it's the shortened, like, you know how they take the whole thing and paraphrase it down. Or
what do you got there, Fred?
Well, I've got his actual editorial that he wrote as to why. And he first notes the latest Gallup poll, which says mainstream media, newspapers like the Washington Post, have lost credibility with the American people because they're so biased.
Right.
They have this left-wing bias. And he says, we must be accurate and we must be believed to be accurate. It's a bitter pill to swallow, but we are failing on the second requirement. We must be believed to be accurate.
Right.
And I would say rightly so, because your journalistic staff, even though they may argue they're neutral, everybody knows they're not. Don't forget, this announcement from Bezos in the Washington Post came, I think, the same day or within hours that the Los Angeles Times announced the same thing, that they weren't going to endorse a candidate. Their newsroom went ballistic because they're all in with the Democratic Party. And we heard this morning that USA Today is not going to endorse a candidate. So
yeah, and Jeff Bezos's point is, we want to have credibility, and we want to try our best to stay neutral in terms of having a political bias as a newspaper, and thus we're not endorsing either candidate, Trump or Harris, Republican or Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
But because the staff room at the Washington Post is so liberal, they're upset.
Yep.
And then a lot of their readers are also liberals, and they're upset mm-hmm. because they didn't endorse Harris over Trump. But Jeff Bezos makes a very, very good point. And I think he's a wise businessman there.
Yes.
Don't you?
They're trying to appeal to a bigger audience.
Right. Right. So the USA Today refused to endorse as well?
Saw a report on that this morning.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We'll be back momentarily. Tony Perkins will be joining us.
Could the fate of America's children be tied to the fate of our nation? Much like abortionists who end the lives of the unborn, the left is determined to undermine the pro-life movement. First, they target the babies. Then they come for the rest of us. Preborn stands as a beacon of hope for the most defenseless among us, preborn babies. Every day, Preborn's network of clinics rescues, on average, over 200 babies while surrounding expectant mothers with God's love and offering a free ultrasound. Rescuing the miracle of life has never been more crucial as we navigate this time of moral decline in our nation. Will you join Preborn in protecting the least among us? For just $28, you can sponsor an ultrasound and give a mother the chance to choose life, not only for her baby, but for herself. An ultrasound doubles a baby's chance at life. To donate securely, dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
To Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim with Fred and Chris, and we thank you again for joining us today. Well, our guest now is Tony Perkins. He's president of the Family Research Council. He's also host of the radio program Washington Watch, which is heard each afternoon on stations all over the country, including our network here, American Family Radio, Tony's Own, from 4 to 5 o'clock Central Time. And he splits his time between Washington, D.C. and Baton Rouge, L.A. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Doing well. Today you are in where?
I'm in Baton Rouge
okay.
today.
All right. Well, thanks for taking time to be on with us. Wanted to get your thoughts about the upcoming election, particularly as it relates to the House and the Senate. Do you know what that's going to look like on Tuesday night?
Oh, we've got an election coming up?
Yeah, you deplorable. Don't you know anything?
Yeah. No, garbage. Garbage. Not deplorable. That was
That's yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, garbage.
We're now garbage.
Okay. What about the election?
Well,
go ahead.
So, yes. In fact, I was talking with the House Speaker this morning. The control of the House is going to come down to about 12 different races, mostly in blue states. And for those that may be listening in a blue state to think your vote doesn't matter, this is one of the things we've been communicating, Tim, is that, look, a lot of people focus on the top of the ticket, and, you know, that's fine. But there's so much more that you're going to be voting for on Tuesday. Now, I know one of the good things we see, Tim, going into Tuesday's election is that we have record early voting. And for the fact the Republicans are engaging in this, which is new, and it's good. I voted early. I voted last week. I want to make sure something happens. My vote's still there. It's something comes up, I get sick, or I have to go somewhere. In fact, I will be out of town. I'll be in D.C., so I won't be able to vote in Baton Rouge. I voted early. But that's good news. That shows that there is some enthusiasm. And part of that is the fact that Congress is up for grabs, too. The Senate, that's looking pretty good. I say 99% chance that the Republicans are going to take control of the Senate by one or two seats. It'll be very close. And this is something we need to realize, guys, is that we live in a new era of narrowly divided government. The day of big majorities, that's gone. Because the nation is divided, and we're not going to see these huge shifts. And it's going to be back and forth. It's going to be like ping pong, back and forth. The House, as I said, about 12 seats will determine the outcome of the House, and the majority there is going to be very slim as well.
You mean now, do you think, you're talking about, as you have Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, on your program sometimes, and you guys have been longtime friends, but he... Yeah, so does he, so he has to obviously have a majority of Republicans in the House to maintain his role as Speaker, true?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. He's got to have not just a majority, but enough of a majority to overcome even a few of the outliers within the Republican ranks that, you know, just want to kind of, you know, turn over the apple cart.
Yeah. Hey, Tony, I wanted to ask you one other thing, we just have to talk about President Trump, the good, bad, and the ugly sometimes, because he is unlike any other candidate I think we've ever seen on the political scene.
Yeah.
I don't know if he strikes you that way, but just a New York businessman who media mogul. Oh, I say media mogul, but media star. Okay, with the show The Apprentice, 10 years. He's a 40-year New York Democrat, but he runs as a Republican, and he wins. He wins a primary in 16. I'm revisiting history. Everybody knows. But he wins against more traditionally conservative candidates. So he spent the last 8 years basically changing the Republican Party into his image. And that's not all. A lot of that is conservative. He and conservatism in a Ronald Reagan style would agree. So there's some crossover there. But also Trump remade the Republican Party in his what he wants to do. So the Republican Party message now is whatever Trump says it is on that particular day, because he basically owns the party. Is that good? Is that bad? Or is it a different? As a conservative, how do you view that? That's a trap question.
Let me say this, and Tim, you know, I've been in the political arena for 30 years, so I'm very good at evading questions. here's what we are confronted with as we go to the election on Tuesday. We have a contrast between two parties and two choices.
Yeah.
And there's no question there is a difference between the two. We have a Democratic Party, and I'm going to say this. I'm not endorsing a candidate here on this nonprofit radio program, although I'm being prophetic. The Democratic Party has become the party of Satan. All right, I'm just going to say that, because what is Satan's mission statement? It is to steal, kill, and destroy. What is the Democratic Party about? It's about stealing from those who work to give to those who do not work. It is about destroying the lives of children with their transgender ideology. And it is about killing babies. Kamala Harris has made her number one objective to restore Roe v. Wade. Now, this is beyond what was in place the day before the Dobbs decision. She wants to go back to where there's unrestrained abortion on demand up until birth, and in some cases beyond. Now, that's their agenda.
Right.
Now, that's not Trump's agenda. That's not the Republican agenda. Now, is the Republican agenda what I would like to see, as strong on marriage, on life? Not as strong, but it is definitely better than what the Democrats are proposing. And so for Christians who would say, man, I just don't know. I just can't vote. I mean, I just don't like what I see here. Well, if you don't vote,
right,
you are enabling a baby killer. Mm. Right? I'm just going to say it. I'm not going to hold that. That's exactly what it is.
Right.
And so I do not think we need to back up because we don't see what we like in the Republican Party. What I think we need to do is go to work to continue to influence that party and to bring it back to a place where it is strong and unquestionably strong and committed to the sanctity of human life in every zip code in America. That's what we need to work for. And so I'm not going to back up just because I don't like exactly what's before me. But I will tell you, there is a clear, clear contrast. And we need to be voting. We need to understand where they stand on the issues, and we need to vote for those who are most closely aligned with biblical truth. And Tim, I'm just going to say it's really not even a question in this election when you look to see who that is.
No, I agree. I agree with everything you just said, and I'm not endorsing anybody either, but I'm just saying that I'm voting for President Trump on Tuesday because of the reasons you just mentioned, Tony. As a Christian conservative voter, do I agree with everything he does or says? No, I don't. But I don't any other. I haven't in history, I guess, that I can remember.
And here's the other thing you've done, Tim, and yeah. I've watched it, and I've done the same thing, is that when we disagree, we articulate that. We are silent and sweeping under the rug what one party does while we attack another. We are...
Yeah, there's too much at stake. There's too much at
biblical
stake.
Issues. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, too much.
The future
at stake.
Of the country.
Yeah, go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, Tony, Fred here. You know, under the banner, as you've just alluded to, biblical truth. One of the big differences between the party is a party that, and a party president, former President Trump, who loves Israel, supports Israel, and deep questions about the other party, the Democratic Party, when it comes to Israel.
Right. No question. I mean, you hear even as of this past weekend, Kamala Harris saying that as soon as this war is over and the hostages come home, we need to return to a two-state solution. Mm. A two-state solution is not a solution. What we saw on October 7th of 2023 was the byproduct of a two-state solution, and that is giving up the heartland of Israel to the Palestinians. That is not a solution. And that is not the Republican Party position. It is support Israel and allow them to have self-autonomy.
All right, we're talking to Tony Perkins. Any other questions for Brother Tony?
I was just going to say, too, what do you say to these those that describe themselves as evangelicals, but they're going to vote for Kamala Harris?
The garbage.
Yes.
I got to say,
Tony, have you actually talked to any of these who identify themselves as evangelical?
I've not met one of them. I guess they're out there, but you know what? Let's step back for a minute. Let's take that term evangelical. Let's become a very elastic, meaningless term in the last decade and a half. That's why we've moved to a term called SageCon, spiritually active, governance engaged, conservatives. If you believe the Bible, if you believe the Bible is the inspired word of God, inerrant truth, I don't know how you could vote for Kamala Harris. I mean, not when she, I mean, I'm not putting words in her mouth. I mean, she, over this past weekend, when, in fact, well, actually, it was last Thursday, she was asked a question about whether or not she would allow for religious exemptions when it comes to her number one priority of abortion, meaning medical providers. Would they be exempt from being forced to engage in abortions or businesses having to fund abortion? She said no. She said that we're talking about a fundamental right. And so when we're looking at how she wants to advance her agenda of killing unborn babies and trampling upon religious freedom, and religious freedom is not just the ability to go to a church of your choice, it's the ability to live out your life according to your faith. I don't see how you can be a Bible-believing Christian and vote for anyone who is aligned with that agenda. I mean, we don't need to pull back and pull any punches anymore. We have come to a place of good and evil. Now, I'm not saying that the Republicans, as we were just discussing, they're not perfect, but it's something we can work with.
Yeah.
And it's more closely aligned, not totally aligned, but more closely aligned with biblical truth. And we're going to continue to work to influence candidates. If the Democratic Party wanted to be open to influence from Christians, hey, that'd be great. But as I said, I think they have sold their soul to the devil when you look at their agenda, because it's just like his: kill, steal, and destroy. Mm.
All right, Tony, thanks for joining us. Who are you having on this afternoon on Washington Watch?
Well, we've got Senator Pete Ricketts is going to be on. We're going to be talking about his call for defunding the United Nations, which is very timely given what UNRWA, the relief agency, has been doing over in the Middle East and funding Hamas. We're also going to be discussing the elections with FRC Action's Matt Carpenter. We're going to be talking about the tools available. And by the way, folks can get a personalized voter guide. You guys are pushing that out, and so I encourage them to get that. They can also get that by texting toolkit to 67742. But we need people voting and casting informed ballots. And so we're going to be talking about that this afternoon as well.
All right, Tony, take care. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. All right, you guys, have a great day.
Okay, take care.
That's Tony Perkins joining us from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Tony's president of the Family Research Council. Pretty blunt there, wasn't he, Fred?
Well, I mean, he's exactly true. Given what Kamala Harris has said, and let's just focus on
the record.
Abortion. We're not speculating here. She is the first vice president in the history of the United States to visit an abortion clinic and praise what is going on there. And what is going on there is the killing of unborn babies. She went, I think it was Wisconsin, a Planned Parenthood clinic there, and she praised what was going on there. And she has said, as Tony pointed out also, if she is elected president, she wants to go back to even pre-Roe v. Wade. But she also said, if you're a Christian doctor or a Christian nurse working in a hospital where abortions are going to be done, she will not allow you as a Christian doctor or a Christian nurse to say, I cannot be involved with this.
But she's going to be the president for everybody.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, this again, we're not speculating. This is what she has said.
We played the audio before on Ethical.
Well, and she did say, like the television ad is showing that Trump's running about Kamala Harris, she said quite openly that she thinks that taxpayers should pay for transgender surgeries, even for people who are here illegally.
Yes.
I mean, she says, I'm all in with the movement, she says. So she's all in with the transgendered movement. She believes that boys who call themselves girls ought to be in the same showers and the same dressing rooms and the same sports teams as girls. I mean, she said that out loud.
And this is one thing that in this I just cannot understand how moms and dads who love their daughters who are playing soccer or volleyball are going to vote for a woman who is all in on the transgender agenda, because you got guys playing on these girls teams and you just stop and think about it. You got 6 foot guys who just say I'm a girl, therefore I'm allowed to play on a girls team. Beating a volleyball down on your daughter and injuring your daughter.
And Harris is good with that.
Harris is okay with that.
Yeah, she's okay with that because you've heard she defends that. And she also, anyway, it's a clear choice on those, on many issues between what Vice President Harris says she believes and what former President Donald Trump says he believes. You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. Next story, Chris.
This story here is all the more reason why you really need to do your research on where a candidate is and who he or she may caucus with if you elect them into office. And I say that because there is a situation in Nebraska where state senator or U.S. Senator Deb Fischer is running against so-called independent candidate Dan Osborne. Dan Osborne has done some campaign ads out there touting the fact that he is an independent candidate.
Where is this?
In Nebraska.
Nebraska. Okay.
But this morning on Fox News Channel, Senator Fischer, Republican, said that her opponent, Dan Osborne, is really just a Democrat pretending to be an independent, which is part of a strategy from Democrats in certain states like Nebraska. Clip 11.
Well, you know, what we're seeing in Nebraska, I think, is an example of a template that Democrats want to use in red states. They want to run candidates as independents because they know they can't win with a Democrat on the ballot in a statewide race. And we expected this, but what we didn't expect was to be hit with over $20 million in negative attack ads in the last 2.5 months. So we have had our campaign set up with thousands of volunteers and endorsements, great endorsements, working hard. Our polling is showing good trending for us, and we plan to win. George Soros is not going to buy a Nebraska Senate seat.
That's just part of the deception that's going on out there, as the senator was pointing out. So Democrats know they can't win with a candidate labeled as Democrat. So they're pouring $20 million into the Senate race there in Nebraska into a candidate who advertises himself as a independent. And she also went on to say in that interview, by the way, that he is every bit Democrat in his worldview, even though he calls himself an independent.
So is that going to be a close race? Is that predicted to be
a close race? It's looking like it.
Yes. The polling is very close.
Yeah. That's in the state of Nebraska. All right, next story.
Well, one of the other things that we have done besides educate people on the presidential race is to encourage them to vote down ballot. In other words, vote for all the things that are down the ballot from which candidate do you want for president. We have spent many days now, weeks in fact, talking about things like the abortion amendments, the right to abortion initiatives in Florida and other states. Florida is also voting whether or not to legalize recreational marijuana. Another vote to really watch and pay close attention to is one in Kentucky, where this Tuesday, voters in Kentucky will decide whether or not they will join the growing number of states to offer school choice. In other words, you and your kid don't have to go to the school that you were in your same zip code with. And Kentucky is wanting to possibly become one of those states that gives parents a choice, flexibility, alternative, whatever you want to call it.
Choice among public schools or
yes.
Choice among altogether schools?
Altogether schools. You don't have to go to the school across the street from you. You could go and use your money in this state or this school system of your choice. I did a story, and I have David Walls of the Family Foundation in Kentucky. He's encouraging people to vote in favor of school choice. And he went on to tell AFN about criticisms from people in groups that do not want school choice. Clip 9.
Yeah, that somehow supporting Amendment 2 and supporting school choice is an attack on the public school system that's going to defund the schools and ultimately lead to teachers being fired. We've seen different versions of this, repeatedly being promoted by the liberal media and those that are opposing this. And we simply just, want to point out that school choice is a way that benefits every student. You know, in the states that have had school choice, they've actually seen improvements in the public school system because competition leads to improvements across the board. A rising tide lifts all ships, as the mm-hmm. saying goes. And so the other thing is, there's been a number of states, including those right around us that have had school choice, like Indiana and others have had school choice programs for many years. And it is not an attack on the public school system whatsoever. It is just simply an opportunity to open the door for more options for more families.
Yeah, I'm for school choice. I agree with that gentleman. Who was that?
David Walls of the Family Foundation.
So that's on the ballot as a state referendum next Tuesday in the state of Kentucky.
Correct.
I just don't know why anybody would be opposed to school choice.
Well, Governor Andy Beshear says he's a Democrat who was just reelected. And Governor Andy Beshear is of the opinion that this is bad for schools and teachers because it's going to take away funds from the existing schools and also teachers that might be in line for a raise.
No, it doesn't.
Things like that.
No. Let me tell you how. All right, unless it works differently in Kentucky, here's how it works. The schools get sent money from the state, I think it's from the state government, based on how many kids they have in their school.
Mm-hmm.
So they have X number of dollars per student.
Right.
Right? You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So if that's true, and let's say a child... parents decide they want to go to a different public school. You can do that now, at least in the state of Mississippi. You just have to pay a tuition fee. Mm-hmm. In other words, if you live in a public school, I'm getting off track here a little bit, but follow me. If you live in a given, your school district you're assigned to based on where you live is school A, but you want to go to school B, you can do that. A public school, but you have to pay an extra tuition to be able to do that. Now, back to the school choice. So I think, if a kid decides parents want him to go to a Christian school, for example, and not go to the public school, that public school is not losing money because the kid that the money pays for is not in class. So, there's no wear and tear on the school system that they're not getting compensated for.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
That's why I don't buy the argument that the school districts will lose money because no, you're not losing money. That's money you didn't have because this kid decided to go to a private or Christian school. Is that our homeschool?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And to step back a little further, ask the question, why do parents want choice?
Right.
It's because, survey after survey, testing after testing has shown in many districts in our country, the the kids are falling behind in basics like math
and
reading.
Right, right.
They're not being prepared to go out there and be productive citizens.
Right.
So that's why moms and dads are saying, this school over here can give my little Johnny, my little Jane,
right,
a better education.
Right.
So that's why I want school choice. In Kentucky, it's being driven, and again, this is the difference between many times between Republicans and Democrats. This amendment is being driven by Republicans in the legislature there, and the Democrats, including the Democrat governor, are against it because they're all in with the teachers' unions.
Yeah.
One
of the things from Governor Beshear here, you know, concerned about money, and this is going to negatively impact schools. If you really believe that, then find things in government we're wasting money on or abusing money, you know, and put that money towards education.
Chris, are you listening to yourself? Democrats finding government waste?
I know.
I don't think this ever happened.
Yeah, Senator Paul is in an interesting back and forth with the Democrat governor over this very issue. I posted that on our Facebook page.
Okay, well, that's another issue to watch in the state of Kentucky. Mm-hmm. They're going to vote on school choice, yes or no, next Tuesday. We'll be back with more. Alex McFarland, Steve Paisley-Jordahl will be with us in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.